You're listening to Into Music from the KMUW Studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. I'm Jed Bodwin, and my guest on this episode is Michael Paris. He's a multi-instrumentalist who created the musical technique guitar drumming. He plays keyboards in the band OAR, and he was a cast member in the touring version of the show Stomp. His fourth album, Guitar Drumming 01, is out March 28th via ZP Records. The LP features guest appearances from G Love, Vernon Reed of Living Color, and Cam Brown from the band Of Good Nature. On this episode, we discuss the origins of Paris's technique, guitar drumming, his hopes for the future of that technique, and what it means to be a musical forerunner. That's Michael Paris on Into Music, coming up now. I just have to ask, so where did this idea of guitar drumming, where did that kind of present itself?
Yeah, so it was early on for me. It was, you know, the first time where it was born in my brain, it was like my first apartment. I grew up in Connecticut, so my friend Todd and I, we got our first apartment together like out of college in Hartford. And it was awesome. It was so great. So we would stay up late, and he had some acoustic guitar, so we would often just jam on music. You know, he was one of my buds. We would go into the woods with our friends and just like make up melodies and record it and think it's the best thing ever. Then you listen to it later. I was like, yeah, it was okay. So he had these devil sticks that are wrapped in that rubber tape, you know, that they, the three sticks that they would use at festivals and Grateful Dead shows and all that stuff. And so I just picked them up one night and started drumming on the strings with him doing chords. So that's how it started. It was that type of, I love this percussive nature. As a piano player, I've always been more of a rhythmic percussive piano player than a virtuosic, how fast can I play stuff piano player. So, and then, you know, we were in that apartment for like a year, then, you know, life goes on. And then some time later, I got into Stomp, and that kind of revolutionized a lot of the way I looked at the world around me and heard music and saw music in anything, right? So I thought back to that time with Todd, and I said to myself, there's got to be a way that I can explore this without needing a partner to play the chords, you know, like how can I love this attack sound of the sticks with the soft rubber, you know, which is kind of like a finger, I guess, sort of, you know, it's like the bone and then the softy stuff. And I was just start experimenting with laying it flat and open tuning it. So Dad Fad was the first, and I still use that for most of the guitar drumming stuff. DAD FAD, where the F is sometimes an F sharp or an F natural, depending on the groove. And the song that I just released a couple weeks ago, Move It, is actually one of the first things that I really, like, when I was sitting down there, I was living in Brooklyn at the time, first year in Stomp. And I was like, man, I wanna, is there, you know, they gave me the confidence, really, Luke and Steve, the creators of the show, to pursue an idea you have that seems a little outlandish or strange or weird, or maybe you've never seen anyone else do something like that. As a kid, I was always the kid, like, trying to find new stuff and new pots to drum on in the kitchen, which when I got into Stomp, that's why it was like a perfect thing, like a dream come true. I still get to bang on pots and pans and trash cans. This is great. And I just started really experimenting with this idea. And the first time that I knew I was on to something really was I had brought the guitar on my first tour with Stomp. And we were all of us performers, we had a day off or something, or after a show, we were hanging out in someone's hotel room just, and I had the guitar and I took it out and started messing around with Move It, that pocket. It's like 120, 122 BPM, you know, which is that kind of dance four on the floor thing. In my head, I was hearing that, you know, and it was just like the boom, boom, the boom, the boom, the boom. And I started just messing with it. And it was the weirdest thing. All the talking and everything kind of stopped in the hotel room, and people were like, they used to call me Paris because there was multiple Michaels in Stomp. So that's how they, you know, differentiate us. Like, Paris, what are you doing? And I realized that people were hearing something maybe that was unique and different that they hadn't heard before, because it was unique and different to me, that's for sure. And I just started, you know, New York City. I was like, all right, let me start doing some open mic nights or something, you know, on a day off from the show, or because East Village, that was my stomping ground, literally, for many years. And there was all, the music scene was really cool. And I would just, you know, and take it. And I was getting similar responses where people were kind of like, you know, what is he doing? But I didn't want it to be a gimmick. I wanted it to be, this is one of the ways that I write songs. I'm a songwriter. You know, and that's been, I think, something that I've really tried to lock in, and it's, you hear the song, and you hear the song first, it's just, oh, this is a cool song, and then you're like, but what is that? And then you watch the video of me actually doing the song, and then, okay, now I need to like research a little more and see what is this guy doing? What the heck is he doing? So that is basically, there's more to the story, but that's pretty condensed. I think that was a condensed version. Yeah, so that's it. I mean, that's kind of where it started, and then it's just been decades of honing and evolving and figuring out new techniques within the guitar drumming structure. So it's not always just slappy, 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 you know, and just in your face percussive rhythmic covering every moment of beat without a band, just me by myself. So it was all about, okay, I need to leave space. I need to learn how to you know, embrace the space, and how does that approach, you know, how does that change how I'm approaching this style? What other techniques can I integrate? More plucking, or more almost like I'm finger picking at times, you know, James Taylor, I mean, you know, like that type of sound, but still make it groove in the pocket, you know, kind of funk driven, really.
If you just take a guitar string, if you just got your guitar, and let's say you take your hand and just across the strings, right? You get the kind of resonance that you get from piano strings. There's that, I don't know how to describe it, but there's like an emotional quality to that.
It is, and it's a different emotional quality to when I'm sitting in a piano and I'm feeling the strings resonate through my body from here, down here in front of me. And so it inspires me also in different ways too, because, and the guitar is resting against my midsection too. So I'm feeling the vibrations directly on my body when I'm in certain frequencies, you know, as we know, like, right, you know, vibrate differently and make you feel different in certain ways. And interesting you say about the piano too, because it being an open tuning allows me to really visualize the neck of the guitar like a piano. It's just semitones all the way up the neck, you know? And so I sort of had to learn and teach myself to look at the neck of a guitar as well, not in a traditional sense. Obviously, I'm playing it flat, so that changed a lot to begin with. But, you know, so when I'm thinking of, this is where I'm thumbing, because it's it, it the it really comes down to this guy in the left hand. You know, where he's going, I see this fret as a G, but no other guitar player really sees it, you know, like that. It's kind of creating my own language that right now I'm the only one that really understands it or knows the intricacies of it, I guess, you know, and I've been thinking about that way. Like, how would I notate this? Which goes back to my stomp days, you know, Luke and Steve, when we started the show, there was no written anything for stomp. And that's why it kind of lived in between a union show and a not a union show. We weren't union, you know, because there was no libretto, there was nothing written down. It wasn't until years later that they actually, okay, you know, how are we going to notate this? We need to preserve this, and then how can we send this to cast members to look at and study? You know, so it's not just being taught by a person, it's reinforced by something written, right? And I've been thinking about that with this guitar drumming thing. Like, how would I notate it? What are all the different tones and sounds I'm doing with each thumb or fingers? Because this guy comes around on the neck and he starts doing, if I'm dad fat and F is F major, it's an F sharp. This guy can bring it to F natural, or it can bring it to a color tone like an E, you know, and sometimes it can bring it to like a seventh too, like a dominant seventh chord. So I can do some of those, like what I do some fun covers, and I can sometimes, you know, you just, so again, it's these little things that I've been adding over the years that make it not just, you know, just me on stage, just, you know, masturbating in some ways just on this guitar. I want people to take something with them, you know. I want them to be singing things in their head, melodies and lyrics. That's what I'm at the crux of it. Either I'm writing on piano, I'm writing with the guitar drumming style, or it's just ideas, as you know, you just come into your head and you record it on your phone.
This taps into something that I find fascinating, because I think about like, I would never call myself like a musician, but I, you know, I've owned guitars throughout my life. And there are those times though where I think, especially early on, just like learning, I had no sense of chords or anything, but you do something like you pull a string really high off the neck and you get that.
Yeah.
And you appreciate the sound, but then you're like, well, where would there ever be a place for that? So you've taken it and you've gone around the corner and it's like, well, I'll find a place for it. I'll make a place for it.
You know, I keep asking people when I'm talking about it now, you know, what genre am I? Because I can't, you know, it's been a struggle for me to, like, you know, being someone who in general is kind of anti-labels anyway. It's music. It's all music, right? And the one podcast I did last week for Listen Up Long Island, he was like, you've created your own genre. I'm like, well, that doesn't help. That doesn't help me. Maybe if you feel that, that's exciting for me and that's cool. But, you know, I can't write that in as my own genre when I'm uploading my songs to the distributor. You know, I have to choose. You have to choose. And if there's nothing that fits, and I'm not the only one, there's tons of people out there who don't fit into any of those. You know, it's a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this, a little bit. It's just, we amalgamate, right? And try and make something our own. That's what I've always tried to do anyway. Yeah, it's so interesting, but it's also part of my character and my makeup that I've always been one of those people who wants to try and do something unique and different, but not just for the sake of doing it. It still has to be an honest expression of something that I love and a direction that I've embraced and felt confident enough to just pursue to its fruition. Where can I take this? It's not, you know, the only one, it's not costing me anything. I'm not losing anything from this process. And it also keeps my mind, as we all know, just like focused and creative, you know, which keeps me feeling alive and forever young. You know,
I want to come back to this idea of genre and so forth, but something you said earlier too about the technique, and it reminded me of like when we see different techniques, like when Edward Van Halen came out and was doing the two-handed tapping stuff.
What?
Or you have Tony Levin with Chapman's stick or something.
Stanley Jordan, all like, yes.
Yeah. And there is always that musicality. After a while, you forget about like, oh, Tony Levin's got that weird instrument. So it ultimately comes down to that music, because the technique at the end of the day is just another vehicle for getting it across.
People don't think about technique when you're listening to the song. Yeah. It's an emotional, hopefully, right? Organic experience. Yeah. And then, like I said earlier, then you find out and you watch a music video and you're like, okay, what? That's the hope. It's fun, man. It's fun to finally be, it's cathartic, and it's been a long time coming for me, you know, to really figure it out. How can I put this out there? And embracing the idea of collaborations big time, especially with this style and a lot of these songs that have been with me since I started developing this style, you know, which is over two decades. It's refreshing for me to, okay, of good nature, what do you guys, how can we, you know, make this for my sake? You know, I needed to have a fresh take on it. And then, you know, having Vernon Reed come in and revolutionize in some ways that song for me, Good to Go, adding parts that I would have never thought about, you know, which is so exciting. That's the beauty of collaboration, right? And any type of thing where it's not just you, right? And there's other creatives involved. Same thing with G Love, like the way he played harmonica on that Hit Me track. I know I'm diving into tracks now, sorry, but just this idea of always trying to keep it fresh and especially songs that you've had for a while, you know, get that creative other pair of ears on it, you know, and it's been really exciting.
This idea of collaboration I think of Vernon Reed, right? And there would be somebody who would be, I think you could lay out a concept in front of them that was a little bit different and they say, okay, yes, I want to dive into that.
I literally met Vernon Reed, you know, like 20 years ago in Guitar Center in New York City. And I had just gotten a mix of Move It, but it was an early instrumental version. It was just instrumental, me just doing the style. How can I record it? How can we capture it? And I was like, and I just listened to it. You know, the music stores would have the listening room in the back. You can close the door and choose your speakers and everything, right? So I had the CD with me. I was like, hey, man, you know, I introduced myself. I was like, I got this cool guitar stuff. You know, like, I would love to, you know, I'd love to just play for you and just see what you think and get your input. And he was like, okay. And he was so gracious and nice. And we went in the back and I played it for him. I had already chose the speakers early in the day. And then he was listening, you know, and at first he thought maybe I had like another percussionist playing with me. And now it's all me, just one take. He's like, okay, because he's trying to visualize it. You know, I tried to explain to him what I was doing. He's like, I, He's like, I get it, man. I get it. And then we just have been in contact and kept in touch. And OAR and Vernon Reed have done stuff together at like shows where it was like a, where was it? Park City, we did once. John Popper was there too. Like one of those shows where it's just a lot of people in town for something. And there's like a little collab performance show. And so I've always been in touch with him, keeping him abreast of this style. And he's seen it evolve over the decades too. So finally, you know, when I finally was like, okay, I have this track in my head, good to go. It's been with me forever. I wonder what Vernon would like do on this. And I hear two solo sections for him. You know, big Living Color fan, you know, growing up and all, you know, and I never heard anything like that either. And I sent him a track, and he sent me back this, and I was just like, so the idea of collab. Sorry, I just needed to interject that story quickly. When you brought that up, I was like, that it's been again like cathartic for me. These relationships I've had, and to finally have a way to present them, you know, together with these people I've been having conversations with. Same thing with G-Lo. It's exciting.
So yeah, I mean, it's got to be about finding the right people who have the sense of vision where it's like, okay, this is different than what I've seen, but I can dive in, I can find my place in this, and we can come up with this other level of musicality.
Any good musician should be able to be given something and do something creative with it, right? I mean, regardless of the style or whether it sounds like anything else they've ever heard or played along to, that's part of the challenge too. I want people to give me that stuff, you know? I want to, and it happens all the time. You know, I play on other people's stuff that isn't necessarily maybe something I would play, but more and more it's becoming more of what I do play. It's interesting, like with OAR going on 20 years this year. I play piano with that band way more for some reason in the way that I love to play piano than I play like on my stuff. It's interesting, but always challenging, being challenged, and I think is good, and to live outside the box as much as possible, you know, live on that threshold. It's exciting.
This might be a strange question, but I would have to think that there would be, you know, in the world, like for instance, of music therapy, that there would be therapeutic qualities to this technique. For instance, for somebody who's maybe had a stroke and has some fine motor difficulty or something. Do you see potential like that for with the technique?
I think the cool thing about this for me is that if you have a good instrument, you know, you can sit behind a good piano and just play one note. You don't need to know how to play piano. And you get the resonance, right? When I'm on tour with, you know, whenever we play like SPAC or performance art centers that have concert Steinway grand pianos, I'll make it my business to like find a way to, and just you just play one note, you know, and just hearing how that sounds and how that makes you feel is similar to me with this guitar drumming style, because you just got to get the tuning right. With a piano, you don't have to tune it, thankfully, right? But you know, as long as that tuning is, it could be dad fad or dad gad. I've written some stuff in dad gad as well, and you understand, you know, the technique of it is slightly different. I do flick, I do strum, I do pluck, I do all those things, but it's about getting the part of this finger that you're using. It's not a whole hand thing, right? And it's like keeping it loose, and what is the bounce factor? Like with a violin, you know, you need to figure out the mechanics of the bow against the string. It's similar. You need to figure out initially the mechanics of the just, but you could sit there for a minute and figure it out. I'm saying for it's different for different people, but and you get it right, and then you feel that guitar drumming sound and that the resonance of that acoustic guitar against your body, you know, then you're like, okay, I get it. You know, it is very, and you don't have to be doing crazy rhythmic stuff, but there is something about the beat of it and the pulse of it. And like how I learned stomp, you know, they broke it down very simple. I remember the audition. It was very, you know, they started very simple. Stomp, clap. That's it, you know, but here's our tempo. Everybody do it. Stomp, clap. You know, they just start really basic, really simple. So I never really thought about it in that way, like a therapeutic benefit to it, but it'd be interesting to sort of figure out what that would be. You know, I explored the Music Together program for a while, and I do I do greatly appreciate and believe in the power of music, even for like young, before you can speak. We can all make tones. We can all speak a gibberish word in a pitch from before we can even talk. That's the whole philosophy behind that Music Together thing. And I think it's an interesting thing to explore. Let's explore that. I like that. I mean, I do like that idea. I've always loved the idea of education and music, obviously, and therapy and music is well proven, right? And if it's something different, maybe we have to do some trials. We have to get some volunteers, you know, do a case study. But it also has to, you know, there's going to be a difference if you're sitting there on a guitar that's really janky and can't hold tune and everything, as opposed to a beautiful instrument and the type of wood that it is and the tuning of it. It's going to be a different experience, right? Sitting at a toy piano and sitting at a Steinway concert grand piano is a different experience. So there is, but maybe it's like, okay, well, again, I'm all about partnerships too. And I'm all about integrating brands that I love into the creative expressions that I do. So maybe that's another angle or approach to like, you know, to Martin or Rockbridge or Gibson acoustic guitars that I do love to play this style on. And I've played it before. The first ones were Yamaha guitars, you know, those are the first, and I beat the shit out of that, you know, but they didn't sound as good as my Martin that I have now in my Rockbridge. You know, again, you get in tune, boom, and you just hit that gong, woo, and it's going through a bass amp, and then it's, I've got these new Fishman, talk about the tappers. Have you heard about this new Fishman pickup, the Power Tap?
No.
I just got it installed in the Rockbridge, like, and I watched video of it, and basically they made this. I've always been a Fishman pickup fan, even like my Ovation. I used to do guitar drumming on my shallow back Ovation, which, and it's the attack of it and the clarity of the pickup, and it was so great. And so they finally designed this that has sensors around the body for people that, in the videos, they're holding it traditional, but they're doing the tapping around the body and using the body and all the stuff. And so you can dial in the balance. It's got a saddle pickup and then it has sensors. So you can blend it how much of the body you want picked up. So for me, I was like, well, that's part of my problem sometimes is like, if I'm just going direct out of it and it's just a saddle pickup, it's not always getting all the knocking. And it's a stereo output, so I can split the sensors and the saddle pickup and EQ them differently or affect them differently, which I haven't done yet. So I just got it picked up in my Rockbridge, and I just tried it out the other day, and I'm so excited to hear it through the whole thing, like on stage, going through a bass amp, direct. That's part of what I'm really excited about this year as well, is like getting content. You know, I wish I could be in the audience and hear what it sounds like when I'm playing on like a big stage. And I've opened up for OAR a little bit with my trio back in the day, but I think I've become more virtuosic on this guitar since then, and more, again, embracing the space between, you know.
So if there's a kid who's maybe starting to play guitar or hasn't picked an instrument, they see you and they say, oh, how do you do that? Do you say, okay, well, here's one or two things you can start with? Or do you say, you know, the important thing is that you find your own path and you do something that makes other people go, how do you do that?
I think those are both great answers. I don't know, but for me, you know, I didn't really want to, my brother Dan's always like, make an instructional video, you know, do a guitar drumming 101 thing, you know? And I'm like, I want to, I think that is going to be great for people that do see it and then hear it and see how you can do. I'm not the only one doing it. There's so many creative people out there doing it. And some of my big inspirations were people that did that, you know, throughout the years. I think it's a combination answer, but I didn't want to really release the instructional video until I got at least one of these albums. You know, like I wanted to cement, okay, Michael Parris guitar drumming. Those are synonymous words, and then inspire people who might, you know, do better and bigger things with it, which is great. But I did want to at least try to make a name for myself before I told people exactly how I'm doing this. You know, and again, musicians can look at it, and I've shown musicians on tour, you know, incredible musicians, and they watch me do it, and then they kind of take it, and then they start to within, again, a minute or two, get the gist of it. But when you understand that it's, you know, just hear them, you know, do it to a metronome, you know, get your phone app and just start slow and just start do it in tempo, because that's the big, it's, you know, Kaki King is amazing. I don't know if you know her, and she holds it, and she's wonderful. She's more free with her tempos and her feels than I am. You know, I'm not defining or describing how she plays, because I'm sure she knows exactly, but she's more expressive with her tempos than I am. I think I feel like for my guitar drumming thing, it is more of, it's locked in. It's not, you know, the tempo doesn't just change or become whatever I want it in any given moments. Is it in the pocket? It's groove oriented stuff. It's funk. Not that funk can't be freeform tempo wise, you know, it can be anything, but I'm not the only one. And it's just, this is my take on, again, stomp, looking at the world, looking at a trash can. This is my take on what I'm gonna use this trash can for. You know, boom, boom, clack, 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 boom, boom. You know, I have it, it's in the garage. That would have been cool. Next time I'll have all my props and I'll just start, you know. So to answer your question, I think if I have my Guitar Drumming 101 instructional YouTube thing out there, I would encourage people to check it out. Again, like for me, it was always, you know, learn the classics, or learn, you know, I learned classical piano. That was my original stuff. I had the best piano teacher ever. She allowed me to come in and play Billy Joel stuff and Elton John stuff and whatever. But she was like, do your scales and arpeggios. And I never wanted to do that until I got to music school, and Paul Ruttman at the Hart School of Music was, all right, next week I want all the scales and arpeggios. And I was like, and all I did for the first week of music school was practice hours and hours my scales and arpeggios, and I sucked so bad. And I remember going back the week later, he was like, okay, you crammed a lot this week, huh? I was like, yeah. You know, now I see when I play shows, just like anything else, a sport, an athlete, you gotta warm up, man. Before OAR shows, you know, I'm going out there and I'm doing my scales and arpeggios. Paul would be so proud of me now. You know, you gotta keep it loose. I do wrist exercises, man, every day. Again, and that's talking about longevity and like, how are you taking care of your body? You know, do you want to be able to sing when you're 80? Do you want to be able to play when you're 80? Hopefully. So what can we do now, you know, so that I can keep doing that? And then the second half of that option would be, yes. I mean, I think that's an inherent thing about when people see me do the guitar drumming, and that here's a guy that's doing something. It's powerful to him, and it's meaningful to him, and it's part of my journey. It's not just something I decided to just do one day. You know, it's like, it's been these steps along the way. And don't feel like you need to set a calendar date or specific timing for anything that you're creating. If it's a creative thing, I think it should be able to percolate as long as it wants to, and then change and evolve and right and permutate. So the advice would, yes, it would be, if you have an idea, follow it and explore it. But if you were inspired by this guy who's doing this thing, yeah, just figure out, but okay, I see it. Okay, now I see the interaction and the rhythm that I've developed. It's so second nature for me and natural to, it's the interplay, you know, and between the thumb and this finger and this guy, and even this guy under the neck is sometimes doing rhythmic tapping under the neck while, but it's all integrated, you know, so there is the mechanics of it that you need to sort of like look at your hands and your fingers in a little bit of a different way, especially if you're not a piano player or who's used to this type of position. If you're used to this, or a horn player, you know, you do have to sort of get used to it a little bit, you know. But I think that, so it's a combination answer, I guess, you know, but I think it is it's going to be an inherent reaction, I think, for anyone that sees me do it. It's like, they hear the song, and then like downtime, they hear it, and then they see it, and they're like, what is he doing? You know, maybe people freaking take the guitar, just start messing around with it. That'd be amazing. I would love that. I just don't want anyone to get better at it and have a more successful song before I do. No, like, you know, there's always that fear. You come up with something creative. Oh, but I want to put it out there because someone's going to steal it. Someone's going to, you know, and that's not fair. It's my idea. But then you may as well just live in a cave, right?
You've been listening to a conversation with Michael Paris on Into Music. Paris's new album, Guitar Drumming 01, is out March 28th. You can learn more about Paris at michaelparis.com. It's MIKELPARIS. You can learn more about this podcast at KMUW.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Our digital producers are Carly Cooper, Beth Golay, and Hugo Fan. Our theme music is composed and performed by Torn Anderson. Send us questions and comments at info@KMUW.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.